Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about grace and what it is and just a few points that I have written down about it here. So grace is not a crutch. It's something that we need, but it is not something we should seek. So that's an interesting, complicated way of saying it. But of course, a lot of things are complicated in the Christian world. How do we seek God while God seeks us? That's one of those complicated paradoxes. There's dozens and dozens of examples which are indeed very difficult to reconcile. And they look on the surface, they look like they can be a paradox, but the reality is they are not. Inconsistencies in Scripture, refutations, things like that. So today we want to look at grace. And I looked this up. There's 122 times that the word grace appears in the Bible in the NASB, the translation that I use. Now, many of those are basic salutations, particularly in the New Testament. Grace and peace to you shows up a lot. It's a lot of those instances. But there are a few times that it makes some theological explanation. So salvation itself comes by grace. We cannot do it ourselves. No amount of works can make us saved. And there are a number of different verses. I picked out just a small handful of those. In Acts 15:11, we believe that we are saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the same way as they also are. Of course, how are Gentiles saved? By grace of God, not by the law of God. In the more theological sections of Romans, in Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So we are justified, that is, we are made right, we are redeemed from our sin, which is a gift by God, and that gift is through grace. In other words, it is God recognizes we are unable to find that salvation, so he grants it to us. That is a measure of grace. Similar in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. So we are not saved by anything that we do. And there's a couple places it appears in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. So men are saved by the grace of God. It is God who does the saving of men by his grace. We do not have anything that comes to the table in light of that salvation. Now, there is another element there in Titus chapter 3, verse 7, a more theological discussion. Being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So ultimately, salvation is by grace. But what is grace? That's kind of what I want to talk about here. Technically, grace is a bridge between what God demands of us and what we are actually able to do. So God demands us to be holy. I didn't actually pull that verse out. It's 1 Peter, and he actually quotes that, I think, from Isaiah. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I guess in the King James with that ye in there. Be ye yeeted, right? No, not do that. That would be that little weird translation they did for teenagers a couple years back. Oof. But be holy, for I am holy, is what the Bible says at one point. That's the call. We are commanded to be holy. The problem is we can't be holy this side of heaven. So we have to do the best we can. This is why sanctification is one of those principles that is indeed up to us. It is an element of salvation that we have great participation in. Sanctification is when we are working with the Spirit to bring about a turning of our life into the righteousness of God. A person who comes to Christ in faith is not, they are instantly made whole before God, but they do not have that character to live out a godly life that God would call us to. there is a tremendous amount of grace, and that's what it is. So grace is a bridge between what God calls us to and what we are able. So going back to Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 7, each of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we are delivered out the amount of grace that we need. So nobody who accepts Christ goes up and is like, oh, can't make it. You just didn't have enough grace. No, God gives us the exact amount of grace that we need. That is the principle. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, therefore, let us draw near with a confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in help, grace to help in the time of need. So as we are striving to do what God calls us to do, we are unable to. We always fall short. The number of man is 666, short of God's number of 777. All right. And as we look at that, God gives us that grace, that extra 111. Let's make it on over the bridge. So grace is something we all need, but it's not something we should necessarily strive to seek. And this is, we find some of this in the licentiousness. We'll talk about that at my last point. I have one more before we get to there, because I want to talk a little bit more about this. Grace is not to be strived for in pursuit, but accepted in our recognition of our failures. As believers, we all fail in Christ. And it is our recognition, the ability to humble ourselves in that, to apologize to God and to man about the failures that we have had, is where that measure of grace comes from. This is why a Christian is not somebody that is free of sin. A Christian is somebody who recognizes the depth of his sin. This is why a person who struggles with the concept, am I truly saved? The chances are, if you're struggling with the fact you're truly saved, it's because you recognize the sinfulness. A person who struggles with the concept they could be saved is most likely the greatest saved person of all. They recognize that flaw within them. Again, I didn't pull this verse out, but think of when Jesus is in the temple and the Pharisee comes up and prays, oh, I praise you, God, thank you. I'm not like one of these bad guys over here, and I do this tithe, and I do these amounts of works, so I do all these great things. Meanwhile, this other guy comes up, he won't even look up to God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is the humility that demonstrates the grace. The more you seek for grace, the less useful grace is to you and the less grace you get, because you are living out that life of licentiousness. Once again, that is our fourth point. But in James chapter 4, verse 6, he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that is actually a quotation. I want to say, is that Proverbs or is that Psalms? Nope, it must be the Psalms verse. Give me just a second here. I meant to pull that out. I didn't. No, it's not. Actually, it is a quotation that maybe it's Old Testament. I thought it was going to be quoted in there, but it's actually not in my cross references, curiously. But anyway, in 1 Peter 5:5, he actually says the same thing. To you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And once again, it's taking me back to Proverbs 3:34. I forgot to pull that out. That is a direct quote from the Old Testament that both Peter and James are using. But for whatever reason, it's not actually in my cross references there on my quick reference on my phone here. That is certainly a key principle. Of course, this is found in another place, the general concept, not the exact phrases. This is when David was praying after his sin with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So grace is given to those who recognize that the more we strive for, this is what the people had a problem with in Amos 5. Was it Amos 5? I want to say it's Amos 5, 20s, somewhere around there. You know, I hate your festivals. I hate these things that you are doing. He mentions that over and over because people were trying to get God's favor by their works and their religiosity. That does not work, my friends. That does not work at all. It is by humbling yourself with how bad you are is what it is. Now, I did mention this a couple times. Grace is not to be used with sin. Now, there are, and we've talked about the free grace movement before. The free grace movement itself does not have itself a core doctrine that says, we are now saved, we can go and sin much. But the way the doctrines are written in that movement, it does not discourage you from sin. And ergo, the concept is, I can go ahead and use this loophole. Once I'm saved, I can do whatever I want because I'm saved and God's grace covers me. And that in and of itself is wicked and sinful. And in Jude 4, he mentions such people. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. These are people who say, now that we are saved, we have grace, we are free from sin. Probably the most heretical view of this, a movie I cannot even watch anymore because it is, in my opinion, so evil, is Dogma. Is that a movie with Matt Damon, and I forget, was it Ben Affleck as well? They were basically two fallen angels, and it was a horribly blasphemous movie, but in the entire basis that they had on the planet, they come down and they find this one priest, who is curiously played by George Carlin, finds a loophole to get anybody into heaven. So the angels want to go down and they want to taste the measure of sin and then utilize the loophole to still make it into heaven. Like I said, theological hogwash. But that's how many Christians live their lives. We try and live our life in such a way that we can continue to sin without the consequence of that sin. And that is what Jude is warning us against in this verse about using grace for licentiousness. So hopefully that helps you understand a little bit about grace. The best thing, the best measure of grace is to humble yourself. That is your best measure of grace. Thanks for watching. Have a look at the website, ourwalkinchrist.com. That, thanks for watching and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's T-O-M-M. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.